Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition, a postseason edition of Number One Baseball's Off the Bat. I'm Jana, and joined by my co-host, Eric.
Hey, everybody. It's finally postseason time, and I think it's been a while since we chatted.
It's been a minute, partly my fault, having my tonsils out and some lovely complications, so yay for that. Jeff's not with us tonight because he's curled in a tiny ball somewhere watching this Yankees game. So it's really just not right to put him on live radio. Just not a good idea.
We would have to change the rating of the show probably from like PG to R.
Yeah, you've got the two of us. We'll try to be entertaining enough for you. But obviously not to bury the lead or anything, but we're going to talk postseason. Some cool stuff's happened so far. We're going to take you through the games, our predictions going forward. Obviously, we're down to the NL side of the bracket is set through the NLCS. The ALCS is still pending this Yankee-Red Sox series. Surprise, surprise, they're drawing it out. That never happens. And also, we're going to talk about Chris Davis because there are a few things that are very consistent on this show. Number one, I love weird stuff, especially statistics. Number two, we're going to talk about streaks, and this, to me, might be the ultimate streak. So we'll get into that in a second, but we are here for you all for as long as it's going to take tonight, maybe an hour, who knows, maybe six. We're going to see how this postseason show goes, but we'll be back with you as the postseason progresses and then through the offseason as well. Don't sleep on us. We're still around. There's news and notes and all kinds of fun things happening there. So we'll be around. You can find us all week long on number1baseball.com, all over social media. On Facebook, we're at number1baseball. We're on Twitter at number1baseball with the numeric value 1. And we're on Instagram at offthebat. Of course, you can always use the hashtag offthebat. And we are more than happy to talk baseball with you anytime. But let's dive right in. Postseason in a second because I'm way too hyped to not talk about this to start. Chris Davis of the Oakland A's, not Chris Davis of the Orioles, let's not get confused, it's Chris with a K, who for a brief moment was involved in the MVP picture. To me, the numbers just quite aren't there, but did make a whole lot of noise hitting home runs this season. He has done something pretty remarkable. For the fourth consecutive season, he's finished with a .247 batting average, which the baseball gods smiled upon us in the last game of the season. He actually got pinch hit for by Jonathan Lucroy to preserve the .247. That's not really why they pinch hit for him, but, you know, for argument's sake, it is. So, number one, that is remarkable. The other fun aspect to this is he's actually batting a career .248, so we're almost there. Because he hit .279 in his rookie season and .244 in 2014. So in 2015, 16, 17, and now 18, he's finished the season with a .247 batting average. That is absolutely remarkable. I'm sure you're not nearly as excited about this as I am because you hate most things I love, but what do you think?
I find it interesting. Like, how's that possible? You know, like, I think like...
I'm so into this.
Like, you just think about, like, what that means. Like, they could, I think it's just, like, crazy. I mean, I think if I'm him, though, like, that sounds like a great, like, case in front of an arbitrator or in front of, like, your next potential, you know, hire or a contract that he's going to get. Because it's like, hey, guys, I literally could not be any more consistent than I am today.
Like you know exactly what you're going to get out of him. And then every season, his home run total has gone up. So things are still good. I mean, he hit 48 home runs this year, which led the major leagues. His batting average stays the same. Home runs go up. So his on-base percentage is going up, total bases, things like that. That's all good things. So even the .247, you kind of poo-poo the number. It's not a huge batting average. Like, it's very remarkable.
It really is. Yeah, I saw that too, and I was like, wow, this is pretty amazing because it's, I mean, just the consistency, and then you let alone that, I mean, he hit the nail on the head 3 years in a row. I mean, it is really remarkable. Yeah. And it's one of those, like, fun baseball stats too, you know, like to get all nerdy a lot of times with all the crazy stats and sabermetrics.
Yeah.
So it's, like, a good one to just kind of, like, put up there. It's neat.
I'm just saying this is the kind of thing that gets me pretty excited. I'm pretty hyped about it. Other people, maybe not so much. Chris Davis was asked about this by Susan Slusser, who is awesome. He said it's, quote, just weird. I guess it was meant to be. You know, I'm all right with that. I don't have any beef with that, Chris Davis. Also, first A's player to lead the Major League in home runs since Mark McGwire in 96. Just in case you were worried about that, there you go.
That's a fun fact. I did not know that. That's a good one.
Yeah, there you go. Dropping knowledge, left and right. We're only 5 minutes in, but you guys are all smarter now. All right, so let's talk about why you're really here. Because it wasn't for me to pontificate about Chris Davis, although we could do that. Before we get into the postseason, let's talk about how weird it was that we got not one, but two extra baseball games this season. Two different divisions were tied at the end of the season, and the Dodgers and Rockies and the Cubs and Brewers had to have a game 162.5, because I guess we're calling that playing game 163. I don't know. Game 163, whatever you want to call it, just to decide the division to figure out who's in the wild card game and who is, for seeding purposes, who's the division leader, things like that. So I was pretty jazzed about that. Did you watch either of them? I know it was kind of weird. They were day games, and maybe not everyone's as much of a slacker as I apparently am watching baseball at work.
Yeah, you know, I did catch, what I think I caught the second one. I can't remember in what order they were. They did actually have the first one on at my office, so I did, you know, catch some sneak peeks there. But yeah, not as much as I originally had hoped. You know, I liked it. Obviously, I think it was super cool, the fact that you had two, you know, I guess what would have been kind of like sudden death type games, you know, that really kind of like the first playoff game. You know, I kind of wish that there was no safety net. I think that would have been a little bit more entertaining. I mean, granted, playing for the wild card is much different than, you know, jumping right into the division series. So there's certainly a factor there. But it was still like, okay, there is still a little bit of a safety net here, but it was cool. And I think it kind of got people excited for baseball in the postseason again, too, with just, you know, okay, guys, we're going to ramp up, like, here it is. We have an extra game to play, you know, 163, which is almost like kind of cheating for stat standpoint, but whatever.
Thing. I don't think the stats necessarily should have counted from that game. Like, I mean, I don't know if this should factor. Like, I get it's still a regular season game, but like you're playing one more than everybody else is. So should it factor into like your overall stats? Like, say somebody was gunning for the Triple Crown and in this game, and all of a sudden it puts them over the edge on batting average or something. Like, do we put an asterisk by it? Like, how do we handle that?
Well, I think Arenado actually did. I think he won the home run crown because of it. I think he hit a home run in that game and that put him over. I believe so. I'm looking it up now, but I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, like I don't know if I like it. Like, I get it's a meaningful game, but to me it's a postseason game. I don't know. It's a weird gray area.
Yeah, or
I'm
you just
sure
scratch
like.
It. Like, it just doesn't count towards anything.
Yeah.
I think it. Come on. Yeah, it did. He actually beat his teammate Trevor Story because of it.
Trevor Story
had 37.
Trevor.
Yeah, and Arenado hit a home run in that game in game 163 to give
sure
him a 38, which is technically a regular season game, and he got the home run crown. I mean, he could have tied his, like, you know, teammate. That would have been almost like a little bit better, but hey, these guys are going to win it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's being a little bit selfish. We'll see how it is, Nolan. I see.
Yeah.
I like the strategy that went into some of this. Like you said, there was a safety net. So it was like, you know, it's really, were you traveling? Are you in a playing game or this or that? But I liked that you had to be, you had to make some kind of tough pitching decisions. Like, it's one thing, you can run your regular lineup out there. That's great. But, you know, you saw different theories employed, if you will. Like, let's just use up our bullpen. Do we want to go with a starter? How are we doing this? There was a lot of different philosophies to it because you had to play like you were going to win that game, but you still had to play to win the game, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, and the A's, I believe, only carried one other starting pitcher on that roster for that day, and that was, I believe, Edwin Jackson. So aside from their starter, who I don't think was actually a starter. I think he was the only starter, and they went with the bullpen game for that, which
didn't really work.
Yeah, so it was interesting. And I kind of always liked the postseason for that because the teams really juggle their roster spots quite a bit, and guys who may normally be honestly on the 25-man roster during a regular season game get dropped and other guys get added just because it's, you know who you're playing. You have these three games. You obviously have to win them. And by
right.
three games, I mean, you know, for the current DS series now, but you know, you have to win those games, you know, your matchups. And it's really a very strategic thing with who you're carrying. So, you know, barring any injuries, you have to go with those guys. So I really enjoy that about the postseason and how you really have to, you know, kind of have that other degree of strategy on top of kind of just one of the normal 162 that happened during the course of the season.
You can't just call a guy up and send him back down. Like you have the, you know, the roster that you've chosen, and barring some kind of injury that's going to take them out of, you know, significant time, those are your guys. So you have to be very judicious about how you send those roster spots, because you could put 40 guys on and make a case for it very easily, but you only get 25. So, I'm into this whole idea of having an opener, if you will, instead of a starter, and kind of chopping up, you know, giving guys smaller chunks of innings, like, okay, you know, you're only going to go through the lineup maybe one time. And I'm interested in this. I don't know if it's going to be a huge long-term thing, but I like the philosophy behind it in that, you know, you're getting kind of more quality out of your pitcher, if you will. You're not getting that fatigue. They're not going through the lineup two and three times where, you know, they've seen how you want to pitch them. They've seen your progression. They know what they're looking for. And, you know, you're maybe getting teed up on as things, you know, get through that lineup the second and third and, you know, occasionally fourth time. I like the idea of not just a specialist, because I think that's gone way too far, especially in the regular season where you're bringing a guy in just for a batter, just here or there. Every now and then, I think a player will warrant that, where you have someone come in just to pitch for them, but it shouldn't be a continuous thing. It's almost exhausting. So I like this opener idea and kind of taking it more in the lineup, more in bite-sized chunks, if you will.
Yeah, I like it too. I like that strategy piece. And I think fans, you know, because of the speed of the game and all that, whatnot has been, you know, obviously a topic of discussion over the past few seasons with, you know, the demographics and all that fun stuff. But I think that fans are a little bit more forgiving during the postseason too, where it's like, okay, I am on the edge of my seat. Yeah. Make that bullpen, you know, call, because like,
yeah,
I want my guy
to willing
to
invest
in,
for
like,
7 hours because it means something.
Exactly. I think you're way more into it that some of those kind of maneuvers, you're not like, oh man, why are we like slowing down this game? It's not 100 degrees and you're sitting in a stadium, you know, in South Florida when before they had a roof and all that fun stuff. And it's, you know, thunderstorms, good stuff. But, you know, now it's like, okay, these are meaningful games. I want my manager to do what he has to win. So I like it. I like the strategy. I like that all the thought that goes into it. I like all the pre-planning for the rosters. I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think it just adds another degree of excitement to the game that, you know, I think would get lost over the course of a full season. But for the postseason, I definitely think you have a little bit more spice because of that.
I'm into it. So let's take a look at, you know, kind of where we stand here. So we'll start on the NL side of things because it's a little more finalized here. So after it was all said and done, the Rockies and Cubs were your play-in wild card game. And the Rockies did win. I was surprised. Not only it was terrible for the Cubs, you lost both games at home, but you had to watch two teams in 2 days celebrate on your field, and it wasn't you. I was really surprised how the Cubs didn't really show up. I mean, they put up a fight. It wasn't like they came out and just laid down, but they didn't really feel like they had any kind of spark at any point. I mean, what did you think seeing those games?
I agree. You know what? I'm not a big John Madden fan either. Not John
really?
Madden, Joe Madden.
Got a little
Madden,
hot
right?
take here.
I know.
Yeah,
but yeah, there we go. you know, I think, Part of it, I think he just outmanages himself, to be honest. I mean, granted, like, he's not playing the game, right? So I can only fault him for so much. But he, I think he got a little too fancy with those lineups in both those games. You know, there's a few things I just didn't care for. Like, Chris Bryant was his left fielder. It's like, really, you have all those outfielders on that roster, and that's who you decide to put in left field. Like, it, you know, some of the weird stuff that he does, yeah. I just it doesn't always sit well. I mean, granted, they have a very deep, 25-man roster where, you know, probably the players on their bench that would be starters on other teams. So, like, I do appreciate that fact. But I don't think he lost the game like he has in the past, but I do think the Cubs fell flat. But I just never like kind of that fancy footwork, and it's, you know, to use a hockey metaphor, like, he has his head down, you know, skating across the ice, he's going to get drilled. So it's, you know, one of those things. No.
I think there is something to that. He's almost overmanaging it. Like, he's playing too much into the nuance, if you will, instead of going with the guys that got you to the dance. I mean, there's a reason that your team was so good. Injuries certainly derailed that Cubs team kind of as the season progressed, and Chris Bryant definitely wasn't 100%. Again, a guy with a bad shoulder, I'm not sure why you'd want to play him in the outfield. To me, that seems counterproductive. Yes, you want to have him out there. You want his bat in the lineup as much as possible, but I don't know why you couldn't put Kyle Schwarber out in the outfield and let him try to hit a couple of dingers for you. That's neither here nor there, but I think you're right. He might have gotten almost a little bit too cute, but it was sort of a flat team, and it wasn't their pitching staff either. I mean, like, Cole Hamels came in at the end of that game and really, you know, he kind of gutted it out, and their pitching staff was pretty good. You know, you should be able to score more runs than they did, especially with that offense, the way they've looked at times during the season. There's no reason they should have gone out and laid an egg 2 days in a row.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, granted, like, don't get me wrong, they went 13 innings. It was a hard-fought game. This is the wild card game against the Rockies.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think that Lester put the team on his back, you know, went six strong. Like, it was a strong performance. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, Hamels pitched well, to your point. Kyle Hendricks came in the bullpen. I mean, it's all hands on deck, obviously. You know, but on the same token, I just felt like I mean, the Cubs fell short, for sure. And I'm not going to blame Madden for all of it, but it was a little bit iffy. Like, why isn't Kyle Schwarber necessarily starting? You know what I mean? Like, that's a great bat to have off your bench, but I might want him to get more than one at-bat in the game. To your point, if Bryant is injured, why is he playing left field? It was just some of those kind of, like, iffier moves that, I mean, I'm not there. I don't know these players. I don't know what the sentiment is in the clubhouse and all that fun stuff, but it just seemed like, to me, it was one of those things that maybe the lineup could have been a little bit better constructed. But regardless, you do have to go out, play the game, hit the baseball, and score runs.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, the Rockies did advance over them. Rockies end up getting the Brewers in the NLDS, and they get swept 3-0. They did not put up a ton of a fight here. Now, we as a show collectively have been talking about the Brewers pretty much since week one of the season. Since our first or second show, we've been talking about how, you know, they were the first team to 30 wins. They were very under the radar. It was a very quiet, you know, publicity-wise season for them, that people really weren't talking a lot about them. Even as the season went on and Christian Yelich was doing these incredible things, I mean, they just really were never, like, a media darling at any point this year. They were very, you know, methodical. They were, you know, kept pace. They really didn't have a lot of ups and downs. They kind of just hung around all year. And the Rockies, I felt like I expected them to do more. I expected a lot more out of them. You know, they had this great run and this great push over the last 2 months to get into this position, to, you know, come out and really make a case to win their division. Granted, they fell a little short there. you know, like, it took them, like you said, it took them extra innings to put down the Cubs. Then they get to the Brewers, and I thought they had more momentum than this. The bats were going, the pitching was going pretty well. The last 2 months, their pitching staff has been phenomenal, both their starters and their bullpen. And I loved having Matt Holliday on the roster, kind of this veteran presence of that last team that had that magical run in the postseason for the Rockies. I mean, we all remember him sliding face first across home plate. It just, they came out and they just, they weren't really a factor, and I was so disappointed.
Yeah, the Brewers, I mean, we can get into this later, but the Brewers are a very good team, and I think they really outplayed the Rockies. To your point, very under the radar team. I think they've been quietly being very good. I didn't realize Christian Yelich actually missed the Triple Crown by like one RBI and two home runs.
Yeah,
I didn't realize it was that close.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Really one home run
and again,
if you get rid of
Christian Yelich, who you could argue best player in the National League this year. And, like, I don't know if half of baseball fans could tell you who he played for.
Right. What's been going through my head is, did the Marlins get enough when they traded him? I don't know, but
definitely not.
Yeah, I don't, hey, time will tell. Time will tell. But yeah,
true,
I mean, the Brewers are very good. The Rockies, I think, fell flat. You know, I've never been high on the Rockies. I think that their numbers are pretty inflated. I think their wins are inflated for where they play. I mean, don't get me wrong, right? They're a good team. They won some good games. I think they're, you know, kind of band-aided together a little bit with some of the players they have, like Carlos Gonzalez, Matt Holliday, were both in the starting lineup. Those guys are well past their prime. If this was like 5 years ago, you'd be like, yeah, I want them. But no, not in 2018. Those guys should not be in the starting lineups. So I think they have some work to do. You know, but I also think that, you know, that they're going to be a team that could be around for a little while. They have some really good talent still. I mean, as long as you have Arenado on your team, Blackman on your team, Trevor Story, like those are fantastic players to build around. Their pitching has only gotten better too. So, they're on the up and up. And if you're a Rockies fan,
I think you're right. Like they're on the verge of being something really good. Like they overachieved this year. I think that's fair to say. I thought they had a little more in the tank. I don't know if I necessarily thought they were going to take down this Brewers team. It really would have taken like a lot of lightning in the bottle there, but I thought they'd put up more of a fight. I thought maybe they'd take this five games, but nope, they were done. They were like, we're all set. Thanks. We're going to shut this down for the year. I mean, it's just, that was just disappointing. And I guess in some respects, you used up a lot of what you had in the tank to get here. And, you know, that's kind of the beauty of having this extra wild card and, you know, how important it is to play for your division title. You know, some people don't take that, I think, enough in hand where, you know, it's a big deal. The Rockies had to play, you know, two more games while the Brewers sat at home just watching and waiting. You know, getting rested, getting their pitching staff in order the way they wanted it to. And by the time, you know, they get to Milwaukee, they're kind of like already torn up. It's just, you know, there's something to be said for it. And maybe they just ran out of gas. I don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, and you think about it too, I think the Rockies struggle a bit in their bullpen. Ottavino, who's kind of like the Andrew Miller of that staff, right? One of the guys that they relied on, kind of that like utility knife, come in, get the key outs in the game, regardless of the inning. He didn't really pitch that well. He gave up some pretty decisive runs in most of the games they played.
And he got used a lot down the stretch.
He did. Probably overextended. Yeah. And it's not really a fault of his own. And then he had Wade Davis, who was their closer. He gave up some pretty key runs. So I think they needed guys in their bullpen to kind of step up, and they just didn't. And the Brewers took advantage.
Yeah. Props to the Brewers. Let's look at the other side of the NLDS. The Dodgers and Braves, this one just finished up this afternoon, just a couple of hours ago, if you're listening to this live. The Dodgers win the series 3-1 over the Braves. The Dodgers had to play that extra game to get here. They didn't have to play in the wild card, which is nice, but they did have to win the division in game 163. And the Braves, who, I mean, up until a month and a half ago, that NL East was a little bit more of a race. The Phillies, they just went off a cliff. Those dog days of summer really took them down. And the Nationals just, that's a whole other issue for a whole other show. Things did not go great there. But the Braves kind of coasted into the playoffs. You know, they had a lot of momentum and, you know, kind of energy going their way. They have these young guns and they, you know, it looked like they had all the pieces together. They were healthy. Everyone was there. Your pitchers were lined up. And they came out and I thought they had a real good chance of beating this Dodgers team. It's not a Dodgers team I'm super impressed by or that I think really should be playing in a World Series, but the Braves came out and they just really didn't do a lot. Again, another team that maybe it's because they're so young, maybe they're out of gas, but they really didn't live up to what I thought they were going to do.
Yeah, I agree with you on this too. I mean, I think the Braves too. I mean, don't get me wrong; it's another one of those like real young team. Obviously, probably a little bit ahead of their time, where a lot of people thought they would be maturing a little bit quicker. A lot of these guys don't have postseason experience. I mean, it's been a while since the Braves have been decent, right?
A lot of these guys can't even drink.
Yeah, also that. So, you know, if you're a Braves fan, like, you keep your head up. I mean, this team is going to be around for a while. They're very good. They have a fantastic outfield. A lot of young kids on this team. I think they're probably a pitcher or two away. They could use somebody with experience in the rotation. I think that bit them a little bit. Against the Dodgers team that was frankly all experience, right? I mean, they've been around and doing this for quite a while team and probably should be past where they're at just from a historical standpoint over the last few years, right? I think a lot of people thought that they were going to have a World Series already, especially when they, you know, tried to buy it. So, more to come there, but I think the Dodgers were the better team. I don't love the Dodgers either. I think you and I spent a good amount of time earlier in the season kind of trashing them when they were on the basement and they kind of snuck into the playoffs.
Yeah,
it's pretty remarkable.
I still stand by that. I really haven't changed my thoughts or feelings on the Dodgers. Like I just think a lot of this team's overrated. I just don't think they have what it takes to really make a huge run. Granted, we're saying this as they're going to the NLCS. So, I mean, for what that's worth, but to me, this is not a championship team. This is still a team with a lot of holes, a lot of flaws. And, I think the Brewers should be able to handle the Dodgers pretty easily. How do you think the NLCS is going to go?
I agree. I think, honestly, the Dodgers will be the worst team in the playoffs remaining. I mean, that's obviously saying it's 1 out of 5. But I think that's – I can say that with pretty high degree of confidence. I think the Brewers are better.
Yeah.
I think both the Red Sox and the Yankees are better. I think Houston is obviously much better. So I think that if you look at the teams that are still in it, I think most people would probably rank them towards the bottom, especially with just how well the Brewers are playing just across the board, across the diamond, across their pitching staff. They look really good right now. They rode an 8-game winning streak into the playoffs, came in and just obliterated the Rockies. So, it's not a team. It's a very hot team and not one I would want to play. Although, you know, the Dodgers, you know, kind of put up a decent amount of runs against the Braves, but I just think the Brewers are the better team in the NL.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, for my money, the Brewers have to be your NL representative in the World Series. And we'll take a look at the AL side of things now so we can see who's going to. So for our play-in game here, little less drama. There was no extra games coming in. We just went right to the play-in game. The Yankees handled the A's pretty easily. I expected more out of the A's. I thought that there was a chance they could usurp the Yankees here, but it was not their night, I think is probably the kindest way to put it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And if you look at just kind of, I mean, the A's, right? But, I mean, just who's left in the American League, I do think the best teams are left, right? Both the Yankees, Red Sox, and Astros. I think the Astros are – I think they're still my favorite out of the American League, to be honest. I don't think they've taken many steps back. That team is just really good still. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how all these teams shake out. I think regardless if the Yankees, Astros, or Astros and Red Sox, I mean, that's going to be one heck of a matchup to watch unfold, and I think that game goes 7 regardless of what the matchup is. I think in the NL it's going to be close, but I think one team, and I think it's going to be the Brewers, will win in 6.
Interesting. So you're taking the Brewers to win the World Series in 6 games.
I'm taking the Brewers in the NL. I think they beat the Dodgers in 6.
Okay, so you're taking the Brewers in the NL.
Yeah, okay. And I think in the American League, I think whoever the matchup is, it goes 7.
Okay, yeah, I fully agree with you. I almost think the Brewers will have an advantage coming to the World Series because it's going to be such a dogfight in that ALCS. So let's take a look first at how we get to this ALCS. The Indians and the Astros, Houston came in and handled Cleveland, swept them 3-0. It's no secret, again, if you've listened to the show throughout the season, we've been pretty strong in thinking that this Astros team is the best in baseball pretty much since the beginning of the year. Other teams like the Red Sox have really made some runs with them, but this is the most complete team from top to bottom. Pitching staff, your bullpen, your lineup, and let's not forget that, you know, they just won the World Series. These guys all have experience. They've been to the dance. They've done this. They've been under the bright lights. This is old hat to them. The Indians, it's a good team, but this at no point in the season did it really ever feel like a team that was in danger of making a postseason run. The fact that they got here is more on the fact that their division was not very strong. It's essentially the football version of the NFC East right now. Things were not great. It was a kind of pedestrian division. And the Indians did get hot. They did play a really great last month and a half. You know, guys kind of woke up in the second half of the season, but they were just no match for Houston. I don't think anyone really predicted this series was going to go five games, let alone Cleveland winning it.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Indians were, to your point, you know, a product of mediocrity in the Central, in the American League.
Not that
I think we don't love you,
Indians, but like, I mean, it.
Right, and frankly, I was rooting for them. I did want them to do well. It'd be good to see, you know, Terry Francona back at the top there. I think that's it's a good team. I think they have, you know, obviously a lot of talent. I think the time is probably running out pretty quickly on some of those guys, though. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do in the offseason, if they throw some money at it and say, hey, let's go for it. But I think they're really only a year or two away from probably having to look at a rebuild, which is probably a sad reality, right? Because a lot of those guys are starting to get up there a little bit in age. Yeah, I mean, it was a no-brainer. The Astros were the better team. I don't think anybody thought otherwise. And it, you know, really played itself out that way as well.
And then, of course, on the flip side, we have the Yankees and Red Sox series, which I know everyone's narrative is, oh, here we go again. But they actually haven't played each other that much in the postseason over the last few years. Like, yes, we know that 2003, 2004, that the whole overcoming the curse and this and that. But, you know, it's been a minute since we really had, like, a really good series between the two of them. Right now, coming into today, they're playing currently right now, as we alluded to at the top of the show, the series is tied 1-1. The Red Sox are currently up 10-0 on the Yankees. So I think we can say pretty securely that probably Boston's going to – it's only the bottom of the fourth inning, so, like, things could still get weird. But so – you may be looking at a 2-1 series advantage with the Red Sox, and the next game would be coming up tomorrow night. That's Tuesday. So, you know, it's going to take a couple of days before this shakes out. I think this could probably is a series that goes five games. But I think ultimately the Red Sox are a more complete team. Just overall, they've been significantly better as the year goes on. The Yankees are still a little thin in some spots and I think a little banged up. So for my money, I think the Red Sox are probably advancing here. And like you said, I definitely think that becomes a seven-game series and I'm more than interested in watching that. But that to me is almost the World Series matchup is the ALCS because this American League has just been so good all year long compared to the NL.
Yeah, I like that and I agree. I think it does go five between the Yankees and the Red Sox. I have a hard time believing either team can really pick up two in a row. I mean, you never know, obviously, but I think that it will go five. I don't think the Yankees are going to let Boston come in and, you know, take them at home. But it will be interesting to see what happens. I do agree that Boston is the better team. I think they're a much deeper team, actually, from a lineup perspective, which – you don't necessarily think of, but I think they could play the small ball. They can play to win in the postseason. However, if the Yankees get out in front first, I think the Yankees definitely have an advantage. Their bullpen is better. The Red Sox bullpen is probably what scares me the most on that team and just being able to shut the Yankees down. But the Yankees do strike out so much that it's kind of hard for them that they're always swinging for the fences. or missing, frankly. So it's pretty much all or nothing, feast or famine with the Yankees. A lot of times the Red Sox, I think, have that range to go and score. I think they're up 10-1 now, and I don't think they've hit a home run yet. So that just kind of goes to show the prowess of that team. A lot of speed, yeah. A lot of dynamic ability. You know, the Yankees will pretty much just clobber the ball and hit it over the fence. But if you're not clobbering the ball, then you end up losing. So it's going to be interesting, that's for sure. And I do think it goes five. I think the Red Sox will hang on today. I'm not saying anything because it is only the fourth inning and, you know, how these games go between these two teams. But I do think it goes five, and I think it's going to be interesting.
It's just it's always a dogfight with the two teams. It's nice, as we talked about earlier in the season, it's nice that they're both good now, because this is something the media kind of manufactured all the time anyway, like, oh, Yankees, Red Sox, Yankees, Red Sox. But for the last 2 years, it wasn't that fun to watch. I mean, it's just like, it was almost like picking on the smaller kid. It just wasn't that great. And so now it's a little more fair of a fight, but for, like you talked about, and somewhere Jeff is really cursing us, but this Yankees team isn't necessarily ready to win a World Series, I don't think. It's too feast or famine with this long ball mentality. I mean, you've got guys getting golden and platinum sombreros one day and hitting three home runs the next. Like, it can't be that big of a swing of the pendulum. You need that consistency. You need to channel your inner Chris Davis and hit 247 every year. But, like, you got to have some kind of consistency, because this Yankee team isn't set up that they could beat an NL team necessarily, because they can't play that small ball. They can't manufacture a run like that. No part of their lineup is built to do that. So to me, that's terrifying as a fan of a team. That would just drive me nuts. You can't be that one dimensional. And sure, it got them here. It won them some games, but when it matters most against a team that's a lot more complete, you know, I don't see the Yankees being able to take, you know, this Red Sox team on a day when they're firing on all cylinders. And I sure don't see them getting past the Astros if somehow they do beat the Red Sox. They can't play that style of baseball. It's not going to work long term.
Yeah, I think as long, and you kind of noticed that, right, Evaldi started tonight. And he's generally had the Yankees number, I think, for most of the season, and has pitched well against them. So he got the Red Sox the opportunity, kind of, and he suppressed the Yankee lineup. Red Sox came out on top. But yesterday, David Price, who they really just shouldn't start against the Yankees, really struggled.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, the Yankees
it
got out front.
It
hurts
my heart to watch him go out there in the postseason now. Like, it's when you watch Grady Little walk away and leave Pedro Martinez in the game, and you're like, whoa, this is a bad idea. Like, it's the same kind of feeling.
It's true. It really is. You're like, oh, maybe he's a great pitcher. Maybe this time. And it's just like, nope, never.
Right.
I don't know.
Let's ease him in. Let him come in like the fourth inning. Have somebody open the game. Let him come in and just like, all right, tell him this is when the game started. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, he got a standing ovation in New York today when he was announced. So that's nice. I'm sure he is loving that. I don't know. He's got to mentally get past these yips somehow. And it's, you know, it's hard when you're in a series that's, you know, a one game play in, or you're in a five game series where you can't afford to really let him stay out there and work through it in the postseason. Like, you have to have that short leash, and it's just, I don't know. He's going to be like forever broken if they don't figure this out soon, but he needs to come out and have like a good start. He's got to have a good outing. I know they said he's available out of the bullpen. So hopefully they see him again and he does something better, because his postseason ERA is really tough right now.
Yeah, there's no way he pitches in another game against the Yankees, at least, especially not in a starting capacity.
No,
I would think tomorrow is probably Porcello, and then probably Sale, would be my guess, on game five if there is one. So, or vice versa. That would be my hunch. But,
right.
I don't know. I mean, I probably would have went with anybody else over Price. I mean, it's hard to say that. But, I mean, you look at that historical matchup and you say, well, why is he even out there? I mean, and it's proven time and time again.
Sometimes you got to play the numbers. You know, like, it's a tough place to pitch. It's a tough market to pitch in. It might just not be his place. I don't know.
I think that's it.
Well, you know, hopefully he fares better against the Astros, because I think he's going to end up in the ALCS. For my money, Houston wins that in 7 games. And then you get yourselves a Brewers-Astros World Series, where I think Houston probably takes care of business in 5 or 6 games. I don't think it goes 7 games. I just think the AL, from start to finish this season, has been very dominant. I think we knew pretty early on that it was going to be, you know, your World Series champion was likely coming out of that American League, is it not?
Yeah, I think so. I'm a big fan of the Brewers, and I've kind of talked to that, but I mean, as good as I think they are, I mean, I just think that all the American League teams are probably better.
I mean, it's just, it happens. It kind of ebbs and flows like that. And it's funny because, you know, just a few years ago, we were talking about this on the podcast when the Astros got moved from the NL to the AL, like, oh God, it's going to take them years to rebuild. You've been drafting a certain way. You've been playing a certain way. And man, did they come out of the gate swinging. Things worked out pretty well, pretty fast for them. And now all of a sudden they're going to, you know, in a couple of weeks here, a real good shot of being the World Series champion again. That young talent, it's so good. And they're healthy now. Carlos Correa looks like he's right again, finally. And I just think they have too much going for them right now to lose this World Series.
Yeah, I could see it. I absolutely could. It's hard to repeat, but I could see it.
Yeah. Yeah, and then all of a sudden we might be talking about a Houston dynasty. I don't think anyone ever thought that was going to happen.
Not anytime soon.
Yeah, so we, of course, you know, that's our World Series picks here. If Jeff weren't, you know, at the edge of a cliff right now as a Yankees fan, he would certainly have some beef with this. I'm guessing he's picking the Yankees to win the World Series. I don't think that's real far off. But we want to hear what you guys have to say. Find us all over social media all week long. Let us know what you're thinking, what your predictions are, and how you see that World Series going. You can find us, like I said, number1baseball.com is our hub. You can find everything there if you missed past episodes or you want to go back and see if, you know, we really are full of crap or if we've been talking, you know, maybe negatively about the Dodgers all season long. We've been talking nice about the Brewers, even though I'm a Cardinals fan and it pains me to do it. It's all there. You can listen to back episodes because this hour might not be enough for you, and I don't blame you. So you can find us at number1baseball.com, on Facebook at number1baseball, on Twitter at number1baseball with the numeric value 1, and on Instagram at offthebat. From there, you can find our personal accounts as well. And talk baseball with us. We love it, and we'll be back as this postseason continues with you. Thank you so much for hanging with us, and have a great rest of the week.
Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the games.